Amen. Well, Father God, we just praise you and thank you for this time that we're in, Lord. Wonderful time that we're in. Father, and I ask for new revelations all the time. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that come in and join us tonight, that we are going to have a wonderful time tonight with you, leading and guiding us. And I thank you for it, Father. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, has anyone got a prayer request? I want to go ahead, Missy. I'll go after you.
I was talking to my next door neighbor, Jill, earlier, and I somehow got on the subject of the Lord. I don't remember what it was I said that I brought up or whatever. Long story short, I believe she thinks she saves, but I don't think she is, you know, just by things that she said. But anyway, you know, it's kind of the good works thing, good works mentality or whatever. And being brought up in church and everything. And but anyway, but I believe her son, Jared is. Or if he's not, he's close to it. She said he reads his Bible a lot and all. And she said she needs to do that. She said she has it sitting there, but she hasn't, you know. But anyway, so Lord, I thank you, Lord, for having the opportunity to share a little bit with Jill this evening, Lord, and really working her heart, Lord, to pick up your word and help her to repent, Lord. I mentioned to her about David's experience. You know, his friend challenged him to read the Bible, and he read it. And as he read it, you know, he can't point a specific day of when he came to the Lord. It was just things started falling off of him, repenting and stuff like that. So, Lord, I pray that you give Jill that experience, Lord, that she really come. To really know you and want to put in her the want to and draw her to want to read the Bible, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that, bringing her into the kingdom and bringing Jared into the kingdom if he's not already, and bringing Josh and Brian, his brother and dad also, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for household salvation in the next door neighbor's house, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
You're muted, Michael. There you go.
Yeah, I saw that. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. We had an actual there. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's pray for the people down in Texas. They're getting such a flood down there. Lord, we lift up every place that is flooding down there, Lord. And we ask and we pray that your elect, of course, be saved from any harm. And we ask, Lord, that your angels be down there protecting the children, keeping them from being harmed. And we also come against any snatching of kids or what have you, trafficking kids or adults, either one. And Lord, if there is such a thing like that trying to happen up down there, Lord, we ask that you expose them quickly in the name of Jesus and get it stopped. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that the water is receding even as we speak in Jesus' name. And we thank him that all the dams are holding. In the name of Jesus. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Amen. Just want to add a little bit to that. And Father, we don't know what the government's up to, the deep state. And we just bind up all nefarious activities We bind up and forbid all works of FEMA that would try to come in there and take advantage of people in any way, shape, or form financially, try to take their land, try to take their money, all the things that they've done in other places where these natural disasters have happened and FEMA shows up and does bad things. So we forbid that. We send the angels in there to make sure that they are not able to do that in Jesus' name. And if the white hats are there, or even the red hats are there, Lord, that you that the angels are helping them and to do their jobs, that people are protected from this wickedness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down this weather manipulation and what they're doing in to manipulate the temperatures, the droughts, the fires, the flooding, the hurricanes, the all the things that they've been known to do. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that this is done because we have prayed it down. We continue to pray it down. We command the angels to go in forth and drain the swamp and expose all this wickedness, Lord, for what it is. I also want to just pray for our president tonight, Lord, and his speech that he's going to be making regarding the election security and the Iran update. Lord, I pray that there is really good news that he's going to share tonight. I pray always your protection on him and his family and his administration. And the angels are guarding them. There's a hedge around about them. I pray that your will be done through our president, Father, and all your plans and purposes be accomplished. And thank you, Lord, for what he's going to say tonight. Let the nation hear it and receive it. And that there is, maybe this is just the beginning of the EBS kind of thing. Lord, I don't know, you know, but we thank you for what you're doing there. In the mighty name of Jesus, praise you. I also want prayer for a prayer of agreement. There is a young man who works here. I think he's here like 2 times a week, maybe more now. I'm not sure, but he helps with maintenance and doing stuff for maintenance and that kind of thing. And he was about by today and he was sweeping and doing some stuff around the doorways and knocking, they go around and clean like cobwebs and that kind of stuff around. And he was doing some other stuff here at the one vacant apartment, doing some additional cleaning over there. Anyway, I talked to him and he is Hispanic. And I asked him, I said, well, did you grow up, in the Catholic Church? And because we got talking about something. He asked me what I did, and I told him I worked for a ministry and stuff. And he was curious about it. And I said, just kind of told him briefly, what that was for. And he said, well, he grew up in a church, but they stopped going. And I said, well, do you have a Bible? And he said, no. And he's like, he's never really prayed. Well, anyhow, the Lord just gave me this opportunity to pray for him and pray with him today. And he was very receptive. He's very sweet. He's a sweet young man, Lord, and he's very impressionable. So I ask God that you would surround him with the right people, Lord, that he has an excitement and a desire to read your word for himself. And things that I spoke to him today, Lord, that it resonated in his mind and his heart, and to be curious about you and what you say, and that we can talk to you anytime we need to. We don't need a priest. We don't need some man that we need to go to, and that you have made the way for that to happen. And please give him, provide for him a physical Bible. I showed him that there's a, on his computer, he could get the eSword, and there's other apps that he can use, but that's just what I had handy. That's what I showed him. And I said, it's free on your laptop. If you have a laptop, you can download this free, and there's all kinds of stuff you can do with it to learn to study. And there's different versions of the Bible. Anyhow, Lord, I just give it all to you, Lord, and that he is excited about it, Lord, that you draw him to Jesus, draw him to your word, draw him with the power of your spirit, Lord, and he gets baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he gets just revelation of you, Lord, and who you are to him. And I don't know a whole lot about his family and background, but he's such a nice young man. And he's a big help around here. So I just pray blessings on him, God. And I thank you for the opportunity to talk with him today and pray for him. And he was very receptive of me praying. That meant a lot. I just think, Lord, he needs the right people around him. And I thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, Missy.
I caught on the news, weather, whatever, earlier with Merle that this smoke that's coming out of Canada and Minnesota, that tomorrow it's supposed to dive further south, and we've got smoke from Canada before, but it's never been this bad what it was today. And tomorrow they're saying it's supposed to be worse. And so I just don't accept that bad report in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just send forth the angels. I command this, the air, the winds, that to take it out of here, to go back up and stay away from here. And I thank you, Lord, for protecting all your elect, Lord, for purifying the air for everyone. That you're elected, it make not make doesn't make anyone sick. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name. And if there is any criminal acts done in concerning these fires, Lord, I send forth the angels to get all the evidence of who done it and all that and who paid for it or whatever. And justice be brought, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for doing that, Lord. And thank you for your mercy and your grace and getting this smoke, dissipating it supernaturally, Lord. You need to just get rid of it, period, Lord, and put these fires out. We thank you, Lord, for watching over your elect and their homes, Lord, that are close to these fires, Lord, that not one of your elect's houses will be damaged, and that you are watching over. You have Psalm 91 protection upon themselves and their families and their belongings. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for doing that. Amen.
I guess I better unmute, hadn't I? Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Hi, Andrew. Go ahead, Kitty. I don't guess Andrew heard me.
Just what Missy said, about the smoke and stuff, and Father, I know that they're doing spraying things, putting stuff in the air, and you can't, during the smoke, you can't see it at all, and the chemtrails and stuff. But with this heat we've had here lately, Lord, the air just does not smell right, and I just thank you and praise you that all of your elect, I cover them in the blood of Jesus Christ and Psalm 91 protection, that these chemicals that they're putting into the air with this heat and people breathing it in, that it will not have any ill effect on them whatsoever. And this, oh, what was that disease, that virus, not virus, disease, whatever it was, that this causing this explosive diarrhea. It's not anyhow, but it's wherever it's coming from too, Lord, that your elect are protected from that as well, Lord. And we thank you that the angels have stopped this thing from spreading and removed it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We can ask, we can command, we can do everything and believe we have received. So I thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that it's done, that the deep state and all their wickedness, their plans are thwarted and brought to nothing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to bless everything we drink in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for blessing President Trump tonight in his message to the people. And let it be a revelation knowledge to all of them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, by the way, Tusi, y'all, some of you know who Tusi is. Tusi News. He's the Iranian that's been given news about Iran up close and personal. But he's stationed in Britain, and the Brits are getting very, how can I say it? They're getting very limited or limiting newscasters now as to what they can say and what they can't say. It's kind of a, like a communist regime now. And so he has asked to be to come to the U.S., and they have deported him to the U.S. So he's got a news station down in close to Miami, if not in Miami. I think it is. And he's hiring a bunch of people, and it's going to be a real good deal. If you haven't listened to him, he's a good reporter. He's very good. He gets a lot of information, good information. And he's on YouTube, just Tusi News, Tusi News. So Lord, we thank you for blessing him with the right people that he needs to get this thing started down there, and we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. He seems like a real personable young man and wants to do the right thing. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that Trump helped him get in here. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? I think what I've read on what Trump's going to talk about tonight is the election and probably the Iranian war and what's going on there. It starts at 9 o'clock, but we're going to probably have to wait until afterwards to watch it, which is fine. I don't know if I'll even watch the whole thing, you know. But anyway, that's what's going on tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the rain that we've gotten here to this the last few days. It's been awesome. We thank you for it, Father. The crops here look tremendous, man. They look better than they have in since I've been here. Okay, anyone else got a prayer or something they'd like to share? Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Judy.
Just something I was listening to while I was listening to the Bible this afternoon, and I just picked one at random, but I went into Genesis. Well, anyhow, when it was talking about Abraham and Isaac, and when he was going up to the mountain to offer up Isaac, because it was a sacrifice up there, because that's what the Lord told him to do, right? But he was believing that, somehow God would provide. Well, anyhow, one of the things that I had never, maybe I had forgotten, but I don't know, right? But I caught it today when I was listening to it. He referred to him when he was telling Abraham to take thy son, thine only son, and make sacrifice to him. Well, I mean, to me, that's like I never caught that before, but because Ishmael was his son, but he wasn't considered counted at all as his blood, and he told them to cast out the handmaid and her son. So it's like, but he did not recognize Ishmael as his son at all. It was like four times in Genesis 22, and it's like I never caught that before. He did not recognize Ishmael at all as his blood, as his son. He said, "Take thy son, thine only son." Anyhow, that was just something I caught today that I hadn't noticed before, or if I had, I'd forgotten about it. But anyhow, it just resonated today. Just thought I'd share that.
He was the true covenant son, wasn't he? Okay, who's next? Y'all want to hear a good praise song sung by one of my favorite guys from Arkansas? Yeah, one of the world's best.
You gonna sing for us, Michael?
I'm gonna do
Woohoo!
it,
Look
girl. I'm
out!
gonna do it. No way, Jose. Okay, let's see if I can do this. Consider
Hey.
Hallelujah. Boy, he sounds good for a 92-year-old man. He's been through the med bed. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? What y'all want to talk about tonight? Remember what we said last Thursday? Huh? I mean, yeah, no. Tuesday. Last Tuesday? No, it was last Thursday. About praying for tonight. Was it Tuesday? Okay. I stand corrected. First time this year. I repent, Lord. Okay. Has anybody got anything they want to talk about?
I don't remember what were we talking about on Tuesday that we were going to continue to talk about tonight.
Well, no, what I ask you, everybody pray to about tonight that the Lord will place it on our hearts to find out what it is He wants us to talk about.
God. Sorry.
That's okay. I understand how I've been shunned before. It's no big deal. It's no problem. Oh, I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah, it's hard to remember all this stuff. What did we talk about last time? Or did I talk about last time? I don't even remember. Yeah, Missy.
You read us a thing about, oh gosh. It's on the tip of my tongue, the tip of my brain, about,
well, spit it out.
Oh, Lord.
About love.
Oh,
love.
Oh gosh, what was that? You read us about, God's in control.
What?
Well, God's in control. You read us the thing about God being in control.
Yep. Okay. That's right. We do. Well, what did y'all think about?
Thank you, Lord, for bringing it to my mind.
I didn't help nothing, did it? Oh, gosh. There you go. I've got this little thing here and those two over there running after me. Okay. What about a question? Does anybody have a question about the Word of God that they'd like to? We'd like to talk about how do you move the Word of God that you know from your mental state to your spiritual state? How does the Word tell us to do that? Andrew, go ahead.
Well, Jesus says in the Gospels that he's, and greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father. And of course, we have that famous verse in Ephesians, because by the time Ephesians shows up, he's already there. He's going unto the Father. And he says that we're raised up. Paul says that we're raised up with him and made to be seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I think that's kind of a big hint there, or a big statement there, that, and I like the one in Galatia 2:22, where we're supposed to be crucified with Christ. And when you read it, you go, well, you know that Paul wasn't actually crucified with Christ, but he was told to take up a cross and follow him too, you know, like we all were. So, we're raised up with him. And, you know, you go back to Romans 6 for your newness of life. So there's a lot of verses there that put you in a position that's away from most people's minds who are in Christendom, because you got all this different type of Christianity and they don't think they're up there yet. They think they have to die first. Oh yeah, you did die because he's called you to partake of a new life, you know. And I don't think they take it that far. You know, the simplicity of this gospel is just that it. About that, you know. That if he takes you, it tells you to take up your cross and follow him. And then suddenly, you know, he expresses the baptism and the newness of life there. That you were raised into newness of life from Romans chapter 6. And in him we live, move, and have our being. And living is the word of God and active. So there's a lot of activeness to God's word, and the people on the outside of this word they just don't seem to click, even in the small, well, some of them do, you know, they click in the smallest ways. And they see an action of God, they get all excited and things, you know. But I sometimes wonder, did Paul or Jesus always get excited, you know? Or did they expect it? Did they expect it to be it? I still get a little nervous when things happen, right? You know? And so I just like collated those two verses, because I go unto the Father, Jesus said, and then he tells me that verse, you know, you're raised up with him. In Ephesians 2:6, I think it is. And I can't remember where that other verse is. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Didn't want to unmute. Now, what exactly was your question again? You're muted.
I said we can read the Word of God and we can get it up here, but how do we get it down into our spirit to where we know it and operate and act in it? Mm-hmm. What does the Word say that we're to do?
Well, confess the word. Pray, you know, as I read the word, you know, and I pray the word, confess it, word, declare the word. And I think this verse applies. This is a verse that I shared with my brother, my sister, and Merle. We've been having a pretty good texting on sharing different things. And Merle finally jumped in and started sharing too, which I was like, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But anyway, this is something I shared with Colossians 3:16. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, or yourselves, is what the note says, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. So how do we get it from from here to here in our spirit, from our mind into our spirit. Well, and another thing is, be doers of the word and not hearers only.
What was that, Missy? Say that again.
Be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Yep. Amen. That's all a process, isn't it? It's all, and what does it say in Romans? It said, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You put the word in here, and then you speak it out of your mouth. And while you're speaking it out of your mouth, you do it, don't you? Also, I like what someone, so I'm going to let Julie go so before I say this next thing.
I was in Psalm 119 today, just for a little bit. I opened up my Bible, by random, just where my eyes fell. And I was in Psalm 119. And some of these verses here, they're such great prayers, but he was saying, was I? Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, and I will meditate on thy wondrous works. And I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou enlargest my understanding. And there's a lot of verses in the first few books of first few chapters of Proverbs about asking God for wisdom and for revelation, well, for wisdom and for knowledge and for understanding. And I think the more time we spend in the word, reading it and asking God to give us the understanding. Give me understanding that I may keep thy law and observe it with all my whole heart. And it'll be with me all the time. So it's getting it in our heart and meditating it on it, and like Missy said, being a doer of the word, So you have to put it in there. And it's the Holy Spirit who brings back to our remembrance everything that the Lord's spoken to us. But we have to know it. We have to meditate on it, and the Lord gives the light, he gives understanding. So that's kind of how I see maybe what you meant by that, being it becomes spiritual. It becomes part of you. You are what you eat. And it's like it just becomes part of who you are. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, absolutely. I got this and I wrote it down. And it says that the spirit is educated through the word the same way the mind is educated through the senses. Slowly, repeatedly over time until what was foreign becomes familiar, and what was familiar becomes automatic, and it's not a passive process. It don't happen. It does not happen through occasional Bible reading. It does not happen through attending services where the word is preached. It happens through the deliberate, consistent, daily practice of feeding the inner man on the word of God until the word goes deep enough to become the governing reality of the hidden man, the spiritual man. And the mechanism through which this happens is what scripture calls meditation. Now, here's where most believers have been operating with a completely wrong understanding, because biblical meditation is not what most Christians think it is. It's not sitting quietly in peaceful reflection. It's not emptying the mind. It's not a passive spiritual exercise performed in a quiet room once a week. The Hebrew word for meditate in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 is Haggah, Haga. And Haggah means to mutter, to speak softly, to rehearse, and to repeat. And it describes the sound a lion makes over its prey. It describes the cooping of a dove. It describes the process of a cow chewing its cud, eating the grass once, bringing it back, chewing it again and again, and extracting every particle of nourishment. So biblical meditation is not a passive thing that we do. It's active, it's deliberate, it's vocal, and it's something that we do also. We follow up with the doing. I think Missy mentioned that earlier. And we start doing what we read. And then once we do that, we repeat it over and over and over again, and it gets it. Remember how quantum faith works? You speak it, you speak it, you speak it, and you speak it until it becomes a part of you. And that's what he's saying. But you also go ahead and start doing it also, whatever your whatever the thing is that you're trying to get in. So it's a process, and it's one what I've learned from other teachers is this, is that consistency in confessing and doing all of that is what gets it down in the spirit. So a lot of times we want to go 3 weeks and then we shut it down because we don't see a result of it. But if you keep doing it, you keep doing it, you keep doing it, you're going to see the results happen consistently. I know Kenyon teaches that a lot. He teaches confessing the word. And confess it opened his mind up to understand who Christ was in him when he started doing that. First thing he did when he found out that the teachings on healing, he said, "I didn't know we could do that." He hadn't been taught that, and he started doing it. He started repeating that, you know, "By his stripes I'm healed, blah, da, 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 da. I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And then he finally went to, somebody called him and asked him to go to the hospital and pray for somebody. He did. And they were healed instantly because he knew that that was part of God's covenant for us. He had gotten it down from up here to down here. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything else they want to throw in there about this? Everything is a process. Okay, has anyone else got anything they'd like to add to that? Joshua 1:8. Did I read that? "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Did you hear what he said? He said, "The word does not depart from thy mouth." And then meditate day and night. And then observing to do. Then prosperity and good success. Praise God, be to God. The starting point's not the eyes, it's the mouth that we start confessing the word of God. Not reading the word, but speaking the word. Praise God. Okay, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, I can just more or less say what you say, but we know the verses that say, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciple." We know how to abide, but what's important is what you also read is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. "And these words I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them when thou sittest in the house, when my walkers by the way, when my liest down, when my rises up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon my hands, upon my frontlets of my eyes, and thus write them upon the doorposts of our house and upon my gates. In other words, it's all-consuming reading, studying, meditating. I think it was Missy also said, as the word is, it's your only thing, but create Jesus. It's a word to put in, to read, to meditate, and to think about, the whole time to think about what the word says. And then it becomes natural when you're growing and studying and in the word. What helped me, what I can say for my is I got a few pages, quite a few pages on meditating each day, or I tried to each day, reading it very slowly, so I could put it in my heart each and every day, and then bring it to remembrance. And that's what the word is all about, is keep your minds on the Lord Jesus and nothing else. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. How many of you know that words will affect your spirit? How many of you had something bad said to you? When you've had something bad said to you, it go right straight to your spirit and you feel it. You feel that negative stuff. Same thing with confessing the word of God. Same thing. It works the same way. Everything that we hear, our spirit responds to it in the words that are spoken to it. Everything. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
My controls didn't want to pop up. Anyway, talking about what you said that someone speaks something negative or whatever and it goes right to your spirit. Well, I know there's lots of times when, not only do I hear I have something negative spoken to me or about others, I don't receive it. I'm like, nope. I don't receive that. I cast it down, that's one thing that I confess, set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips and let my words be few. And, I speak blessings and not cursings and so on and so forth. But, I speak as an oracle of God. These are things that I, speak to myself, about that whole thing, about my words and yeah.
I just meant the negative thing. You feel it. I didn't mean that it was something that we. I think you missed what I was trying to get at, and that was that when somebody speaks ill about you, to you, that you can feel it in your spirit, and you immediately want to retaliate of some type of description. But what I was trying to show you is that when it goes to your heart, that means that you can speak it and it'll go right straight to your heart. That's what I was talking about. Even the positive things goes right straight to your heart. We know that we can feel it when the negative things come, but and we also feel it when the positive things, but I was just showing, trying to get you to see how it worked. Okay. All right, Andrew, go ahead.
I have to say that that's the good part of texting in your phone, because you can have something said to you, and the same kind of thing will happen, but you can think about it twice there, So, because texting is a little more slower, I think, because you're not responding. And so, if you take one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control, just how many aspects that does this have to apply to? Like if you get a bad text from someone, or if you get any verbal thing that's bad, Like I remember going for a walk once, going through the mall next door here, and two people were arguing, and I could, you can sense the spirit, you know. You can sense something is about to go down too, you know. If you go for a walk, and there's a lot of hostility in the air. I give you a good example. When we were supposed to walk 6 feet away from everyone, I went to the bank, you know, and one man was really hostile with me. And I just, you know, just have to deal with it and be calm and stuff. And, you know, you don't really care about what everyone else is thinking. You just let it pass, you know. You can feel it rushing up inside of you, kind of like down from the pit here in your belly, trying to rise up into your brain here and then come out of your mouth. But if you can stop it before it comes out of your mouth, then you know it's working, you know. Or if you can stop it in your brain, sometimes you can just feel it coming up and you can stop it when it's halfway up. And then you know that it's a tempter trying to come and tempt you to do something wrong here. And boy, sometimes you really think it is your idea, and you just got to put an end to it. So I hope that helps people. You know, there's only 9 fruits of the Spirit there in Galatia chapter 5, but there's several different, as you know, love and faithfulness would be several different applications, you know. And there's, for every application of God wants to give you for behavior, there's an opposing application that wants you not to have that behavior or response. So I think this doesn't go through your head when it's happening. But sometimes, you know, God just might put it in there, you know, and say, oh, Andrew, you've got self-control here. You know, you just say, well, I'm not going to respond to that. And you got to read the guy too, because sometimes when you don't respond to something, he just, or she might just fly off the handle even more, you know, and try to get you started, you know, with the goat key in your belly there. And no, you're a sheep. You can't hijack this car, this vehicle, with your goat key, because it only works with a sheep key. Well, that's a good analogy, because the sheep would be only what the sheep would say, and a goat would be only what a goat says. So so praise and glory to God.
Amen. That's right, Andrew. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Just got something we can pray about here. Just got notification on X. This is from Reuters. It says ABC, NBC, CNN will not air Trump's election security speech live on primary channels. It goes on another text. It said regarding the big three networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, not covering Trump's White House speech tonight. When it comes out, it's absolutely going to come out that all three of them were absolutely complicit in knowingly helping to provide cover for the stolen election. Their decision not to carry his speech tonight will only make all the sense in the world. Whoa. I found that extremely interesting. Oh, Lord, we just pray right now that you override their not airing the speech, that they will be airing it in Jesus' name. You can do it, Lord. We know you can. They're still going to air it. That we just command the angels at those networks will be carrying it, and they won't be able to shut him up in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Lord, if you so desire, just shut all three of them down. Don't let them make any more money. I think Trump has already shut them down a little bit. Let them know that he's in charge. When they go over to this new network, They'll probably be left behind. I wanted to, I thought you were going to bring up what Brandy had up. Did you see that?
Yeah, we can do that too.
Okay. this is Bernie put this up. He said, "My name is Gabby. I would like to ask for the UBM elders to pray for me." So I'm going to pray for him if y'all would believe with me. In the name of Jesus, right now, we lift up Gabby and we quench all the fiery darts of the enemies of anxiety and fear that comes at him in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that he is going to be an overcomer. And let's see, what else? I thank you that anxiety and fear has gone from him, that he is an overcomer. Now he says, and Lord, we thank you for his provisions to maintain, to take care of all of his needs, for all current health issues to be healed, and always to be safe and protected. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray Psalms 91 on him. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for covering him with your shield of protection, taking care of him for provisions. And Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you that he's coming out of that bed of affliction, completely healed, delivered, and set free from all of those things that has tormented him in the past. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that in Jesus' name. We break the power of Satan off of him right now. In Jesus' name, you get your hands off of Gabby right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your shield of protection round about him and your angels round about him to keep him and the provisions he needs, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for taking care of all of his health needs. Not through the hospital, but get rid of all the bills that he has from them. And I glorify you and I thank you, Lord, that you have healed him and that you're going to get the glory, not the doctors. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for giving him the money to take care of what he's already had in Jesus' name. Anybody else? All right. I believe it's done, don't y'all? Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 91 says, just a minute, I'll have to bring it up. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy way. Amen. Yes, he will. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just kind of wondering if it, after you read that, you know, and be admonished by it and be warned by it, that you would read 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. Because, you know, you look at every single verse there, and 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3 kind of sums them all up into all of them. It's nice to know them all, though, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. So that every last one of those in Psalm 91 is in that plan of God, you know. And and the plan of God is in 3:11 and 12 of Ephesians, and in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through Christ's faith. And if you're going to be Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you're going to be with Christ, and it's going to be Emmanuel for you, then that's exactly what it is. You know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And those attributes are being shared, but these are his glories or glorious behaviors that he's sharing with us. His faithfulness is being passed on to us as we grow in Christ, you know. And his love also, and all the attributes of Christ, the behaviors of Christ. It started off with, he that calleth you is holy, be ye therefore holy in all, with all your behavior. And those are all behaviors from those nine things, from love to self-control. And against such there is no law, because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So, I like to collate things when it pops into my head. You know, that 3 and 3 of 2 Thessalonians, you know, I went, hey, man, every single verse, and I'm testing it as he was reading them all, as Michael was reading them all. Like, yeah, that one too. You know? And I went, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3, you know, and there's a lot of 3 and 3s. Like there's the one in Amos too, 3 and 3. It would work for each one of those too. Can two walk together unless they agree? You know, and so it's just an interesting concept. Praise God.
Amen. All right. What was that question that you had, Jenny, about a subject? Excuse me.
Oh, let's see. I suggest that was this a possible question tonight for whenever. What might be some examples of our spiritual sacrifice that are acceptable to God as priests of God, right? I was referring to 1 Peter 2:5, which says, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
You want to give us an example?
Yeah, I can. An example would be when you're going through persecution, a suffering in your flesh, because God, to me, it means as priests, they were in the temple sacrificing live or, you know, animal sacrifices, right? And we're to be a living sacrifice, so because we're living stones and a living sacrifice, so. An example would be when you're going through something really difficult, you're being persecuted, is give God all praise and thanks and worship him during it. That would be, to me, an example of spiritual sacrifices that would be that is very pleasing to God, because he wants our burnt, he likes burnt flesh, right? He likes the smell of burnt flesh. I remember hearing that one someplace. So it's your flesh is burning up, your old sin nature on the altar of when you're not giving in to what you're feeling, like Michael, you said earlier, when somebody speaks negative words or hurtful words to you, you know, and you don't accept it, and you pray for the persecutors, you pray for those who just, you know, assaulted you verbally or whatever. That would be, you know, when your flesh burns up, when you're that would be an acceptable sacrifice. You're muted, Michael.
Okay. Yep. Go ahead, Missy.
What came to my mind is if anyone who watched the video that Winnie put up today about offense and stuff, and the Lord directed her, and I thought this was very good because I know the Lord put it in me, you know, to not repeat like someone tell someone about like how someone attacked you. Like if you take it's kind of like if you take an offense at someone's attack towards you, it's gonna burn up your flesh to keep your mouth shut and not tell somebody else about it. I really like that, because I know I've had that experience where the Lord says just be quiet, don't open your mouth, don't do it, don't tell anybody about it, you know. That is a flesh burner, because it's like if I tell somebody about it, then for one, to me, my thought is I have unforgiveness towards that person, and if I tell somebody else about it, and I forget what my other thought was. Help, Lord. But yeah, then I then if I'm trying to not be offended, you know, if by telling somebody else, it's definitely gonna I'm gonna take that offense in, you know. But it's easier to forgive if I don't tell somebody else and not be offended. You know what I mean? If I tell something that somebody did to me, you know, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead, Judy.
Missy, you just made me think of something else, like when I was sharing before we got on the recording. Too, but I was kind of complaining, murmuring a little bit about somebody, and asking you to pray in agreement as I prayed for this person and stuff. So, you know, that just kind of convicted me a little bit of doing just that. But you know, I wanted a prayer of agreement that I would not get upset about the thing that I'm seeing what's happening. But I just want to be able to overlook it, knowing what's happening. And recognizing what was how this person's behaving towards me. Because if he is an unforgiveness, but he can't help himself. Another thing that came to my mind too, it'd be an acceptable sacrifice would be not confessing the bad report that I'm going through this, or this hurts, or I've got this problem, or I've got this ailment, or I got this going on. It's not giving the devil any recognition about what you might be standing in faith for, and it, you know, not admitting the curse in any way. So just praising God through it. It would be a spiritual sacrifice.
Amen. Amen. One thing that I notice that some people do a lot, and that is, oh, the Lord's taking me through a trial, man. You know? Well, I ain't no need you sitting there dwelling in it. Get rid of
Isn't that like complaining? Isn't that complaining? Which, the
Yeah.
Lord was dissatisfied with them when they were complaining and murmuring and whining in the wilderness. He hates that. He doesn't want that. Yeah, I've done it too.
I've done it myself, and then I got to thinking about it one day. I said, "Well, why are you confessing a bad confession? You ought to be confessing the good confessions." So I couldn't do it then. Well, the Lord's got me going through a trial today. Somebody feel sorry for Yeah.
Gosh, Michael, that's exactly what it is. You want pity. You want pity of someone else to sympathize with you. And I get it. I mean, it's really hard and you really need someone to pick you up. I guess that you need someone to help pick you up if it's really oppressive. But I guess it's how you come across with it, right? Maybe.
The Lord wants us to confess the good confession, and the good confession is the word of God. By his stripes you are were healed. Not are, were. That's what 2:24 said. Praise be to God. Yeah, Andrew. I get you after Andrew, Joe.
It does say there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about for the weapon, for our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty with God, casting down strongholds. You got to use your sword. You can't sit on your sword, someone told me. And I said, well, there's the verse right there, And you gotta go up to verse 5, I think, there. From 3 to 5, at least 6 is good too. You need lots of authoritative verses, I think, to help you for these things. Especially sometimes if you do overcome, and after you need some backup. So you gotta be reminded by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit reminder, because He's teaching you these verses, and wants to remind you of them when you. Especially, you want that understanding in the midst of it, because it's hard. I'm learning a lot from my grandson, who doesn't have the ability to speak, so it's not his fault. He's trying to relay something to you. But it just comes out in little screams and stuff. And sometimes this is the same when you run into people of different denominations. You don't know where they're at in the Lord, and they don't know how to speak what they need to speak to you because they're so young in the Lord, and they need to, not physically young, but spiritually young. And they need to grow in the Lord. You've noticed this from new people coming on, and they grow in the Lord, and they know how to speak, and they know how to spiritualize everything, to get the Spirit to help them with these items, and to function in this new life that we have is just as a parable as a toddler would be. How he's trying to learn to speak and stuff and relay to you. And it's quite a shocker sometimes for me. How can I be berated by someone on the street, And then this little one could just get me going more than a grown up would. Anyway, praise and glory to God. I have to realize that there's a reason why I have to do this. And it's good training, I think. So praise God. Glory to God. Forgive me, Father, for losing it sometimes with a 17-month-old I have great respect for women who raise children now. I have to say it, man. I could see why a woman is more nurturing. It has to be there, you know? And why you need the man sometimes when a woman is too nurturing over someone who's a full-grown person. You know, it's not a baby anymore, and you need a man's perspective on that too, because we are different in that way. So praise God. You know,
good man. Go ahead.
A woman has to give milk to the baby, and so does the church have to give the milk of the word, you know, and be able to converse and talk, you know. That's what Sunday school was all about, too, you know. Praise God and glory to God.
You're muted, Michael.
I knew that. Yeah, sometimes it takes a man to utilize the rod of God. You know what I'm saying? To get things across. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I was just thinking what you and Julie were talking about, going through trials, and I'm going through a trial. I was just thinking, last night I confessed, Lord, I'm thank you for the trial that you bring me through, because you already gave me the victory for it. Thank you for standing in faith for it. It's not confessing as, oh, I'm not again. It's just, this is another step of my patience, another step of more light in my life, more confessing more the victory that the Lord has given me. It's confessing already done at the cross. Just go through it. It's more light. It's patience working for goodness for us. Just hold on to that. Does that make any sense to you, what I'm just saying? Julie? Michael's muted.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. What she said. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Joe.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Am I speaking too quickly?
No, you're speaking perfect. It's sometimes addiction gets me. In other words, when you I think I understood most of it. Did you, Julie?
Yeah, it's more like what we're saying, like praising and thanking God for the trials, as opposed to complaining about it or opening our mouth and talking about it, something like that. Is that what you meant, Joe?
Yeah, it's just confessing what's already been done. I mean, we're confessing the victory,
yes.
Not confessing the problem, confessing the victory. Yeah.
Amen. Confessing the victory and not confessing the problem is what he said.
Thank you, Lord. Well, that's basically what we've been saying. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's a little bit of room you're in there, Missy. Is that a closet?
What did you say? I heard, was that a closet? What did you say before that?
I said it looks like a real small room, though. Good prayer room.
It's a bedroom. It's
Is it? Okay.
yeah, it was Alex's room. I guess it's 12 by 14, maybe.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. That's probably about like mine here. Guess it just looks small. All right, anyone else? Anybody got a question or something they'd like to talk about other than what we're talking about? I want to see if I can find. Oh, this is something that somebody wrote. It says the phrase. This phrase is the key to everything. He says, when my spirit had fed upon the word until it had developed a robust unconscious faith, then I walked in the presence of disease as a master. And what he meant by unconscious is that not faith that he had to work up, you understand? He just knew that when he went in, it was he had that faith to when he laid hands on people, they were going to get healed. It operates automatically in your faith, in your walk. That's where we're striving for right now, is to walk in complete faith and understanding. That when we put our hands on somebody for healing, they get healed because the power of God is in us to do that. We just have to release that power through our faith. Go ahead, Andrew.
I think you really answered the question for me, because sometimes you do struggle for things that go on really long, and sometimes it just comes right away, and you do tend to know that this is going to work this time. This is all worked out, because I don't know if God worked it out or something. Reminds me of the time, like when he prepares his apostles, he prepared Peter to go out and see Cornelius long before he went to go see Cornelius. But sometimes that preparation could be just something really short, and I don't know. Sometimes, like why some things linger so long, but you just have to be continue the fight, the good fight of the faith. To lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you were called. It's
Amen.
from the Father, and I like that one, because it reminds you that you were called into something, and you need to progress. There's so many good words, that it just being so wonderful for them to be active, for them to function, for them to all the time just work out, and praise God.
Amen. Talking about this faith, not faith, but getting the word of God into your spirit to where you understand that you are God's messenger. You are God. You are utilizing God's promises in your life for everybody else. I'm reminded of Kenneth Hagin talking about this lady that came to his church, and he was preaching on faith that day. And he was apparently preaching on confessing and all of that. She went home And I don't remember what was wrong with her, but whatever it was, she spoke the word of God for 5 hours and got it down into her spirit where she understood that I am healed. And healing came after 5 hours of quoting the healing scriptures to herself. That's what she did. And it got down into her spirit. When it gets down into your spirit, where's your spirit? It's in your physical, it's in you. And when you turn it loose in you, you're healed. That healing's got to go. Whatever it is, that's bothering's got to go, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the Word of God that tells you you're healed. That's the way I see it. You fill yourself up with the Word of God on. If you need a healing, if you need provisions, or whatever it is that you need, but you get it into your spirit, you're going to receive that particular thing that you're asking God for. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, it's so close to those words about the new covenant in Hebrews 8:8-8:11. You know, it's all right there. You know, it's like someone putting that word in your mind and in your heart, and the provision and everything else. You know, and it's just coming. You know, it's from the least to the greatest. No one's gonna need to teach it. No one doesn't need to teach anymore. That means from the least to the greatest of them, it's going to happen, you know, and it does happen, you know, and we all get excited when it happens, when it first happens with you, when the first thing ever happened to you, which would be your salvation and your calling. And then
Well, that's a
that's what we have here. So yeah, sometimes there's a siren though, So anyway, so that I'm sure, why don't the churches, all these different denominations that I used to belong to, how come they won't review that Hebrews 8:8-8:11, I don't know why, Like, if you're going to tell a covenant to someone, of course you're going to tell the people who already had one, Like the poor Gentiles, they didn't have it. Well, they did have a covenant way back with Noah, but I don't think people were behaving themselves on that one. It's kind of interesting. He had a worldwide covenant with Noah and his three sons. And then it was transferred to Abraham, and now it's a worldwide covenant again with his son, Jesus Christ, And we can't mess it up this time because we're including the Jews and the Gentiles. But we tend to overemphasize things where God is trying to build us up in his word, And I remember, like having really like super studying and stuff, and you feel so much better and everything, and then something happens to you that might knock you down a couple of levels and then you got to build yourself back up again. And I don't know if what that is, like you would be studying and studying and you'd feel so filled, you'd feel so powerful. And I guess you go and talk to a worldly person and then he'll just like dig it all out. I don't know, and knock you down for doing that, like you got to be careful with other people too. And anyways, praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying much attention. Somebody's texting me. Got some problem. All right. Anyone else? I believe I read also somewhere, I believe it was today, I read it also, how Kenyon came upon the faith that he had to okay. How he started reading the word, Andrew. He started reading the word and started finding out that I have to confess these things. And he started doing that. And he started looking up these scriptures and he'd just get a revelation. Well, I didn't know that I hadn't been taught this before about confessing the word on the things that you need. And he said it was just a bombshell to him. And he started doing it. And people started getting healed and things started happening in his ministry that he didn't understand. He said, man, that was the easiest thing I ever did, was understanding that Jesus lives inside me. And when he lives inside of me, the things that he did, I can do.
But
Greater things, what Jesus told her.
this guy Hagen, he was already a minister and
Kenneth
he had to
Hagin?
learn it. Yeah,
No,
he
this
had
was
to
Andrew
learn.
Mur. This was oh, for crying out loud. What was it? E.W. Kenyon.
E.W. Kenyon.
Yeah, E.W. Kenyon.
He
This is
didn't
when he
was
first
he a
started out.
when he first started out, yeah. So was he a minister?
Yeah, he was a minister. He was
And
brought
then he,
up in an apostate church.
okay, yeah.
And he said, I was
He went
never
through
taught.
something the same thing like Wesley did then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure did. He mentions him too.
Makes you kind of wonder, why they would what the Sheffy thing too. He was not licensed. But he was the most successful.
Well, let me ask you a question. How many pastors have, my preachers do we have out here that have been preachers for 40 and 50 years and don't know that God heals? And that God would provide everything that we need, or even that we have the Holy Spirit.
It makes me remember that certain verse in Colossians where they spoil you with philosophies. It's
Yeah.
like there's a philosophy. Oh, he don't do that anymore. That's a philosophy. God doesn't work that way anymore. Come on now. There's and it's the just the simple speech like that convinces like a lot of people, and makes me kind of wonder that is God going to have to make a Wesley out of these people too, who say these things? What was that guy's name in England? Sturgeon? He was a Baptist, I
Yeah,
think. Yeah,
Sturgeon, yeah.
but how did he get saved? He was 15 and he because it was cold day in the winter, he went into a Methodist church and he got saved that day and he brought that to the Baptists back then and I think it really really kind of spiritualized them back then over there in England anyway. I don't know too much about it, but and then you had Mueller, George Mueller saying, forget about your differences, your denominations. He was trying to push
Yeah.
that in when he was 70 years old, and it kind of makes sense, follows the verses there in Galatia not Ephesians 4 and 4, you know, one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who's over all, in all, and through all. You know, and you got a gesture with that one, because it's, he is over you and in you and through you. So and of course you got the 2 Corinthians 6:16 to back that up to 17 to 18, you know. And it's a scary thing to know that you have God living in you. You know, he's the one addressing you. He's the one saying, now you got to be separated from this kind of stuff here. And you don't touch that thing over there, you know. And come out from among them, you know. And, you know, don't listen to what that guy's saying. You know? And now, why is my pastor saying that? You know, and why are they all divided? You know, how many different denominations do we? I was shocked when people told me how many we had. You know, I didn't think we had that many. All separated under their own multiverse verses, and it could get really multi. Yeah. Anyways. Help us, Lord. Help us.
Amen. Here's that. I just, that was laying on my desk here, that story of that lady that got healed at 5 hours. This is not a story of chance, Hagin says. It's a testimony of truth. There was a woman just like you who had suffered long enough. She done got fed up with being sick. But the moment she discovered what Jesus had already done for her, she made a decision. She stood on the word, spoke it, believed it, praised through every second. She did not wait for her body to feel different. She declared it done. And in just 5 hours, healing overtook her completely. Oh, glory to God. She said what happened to her is rare. It's the result of spiritual laws that never fail. And that spiritual law is confessing it and praising God that it's done. That's what it is. Praise God, I'm healed. It's consistency, staying with it. Praise God. Yeah, Andrew.
I would think that she probably did confess it with her mouth and have it play around in her mind a few times too. You know, like just to confess it in your mind and in your mouth and keep doing it. Yeah. Meditating on it.
Meditate and speaking it, and once it gets down in your spirit, the spirit, you just turn it loose in your body and you're healed. I remember a preacher talking about that one time. He said, let me thank you. He said, you can get healed yourself. He said, all you need to do is release the Spirit of God into your flesh. And once you release the Spirit of God into your flesh, the sickness cannot stay. Now, I don't know. That's just what he said. And apparently he's had it work before. People have had it work before. Lake did that. Remember me telling you about that? About that lady, his guys were said, came into Lake and said, man, we can't do nothing with this lady. We prayed for her and prayed for her, and she's not getting healed. He said, okay, so bring her to me. And they brought her to him. He told that lady, said, you see that chair over there? He said, sit down in that chair, and I want you to release the Spirit of God into your flesh. She said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. I never heard of nothing like that. He said, you want to get here? He said, sit over there in that chair and just ask the Lord to go into your flesh, to move over into your flesh. And he said, once that happens, you'll be healed, because sickness can't stay in the flesh where the Holy Spirit is. And she sat there for a few minutes. I thought, oh, this is crazy. I never heard of it. And he said, listen, if you'll just do it, just imagine in your mind that the Holy Spirit is there in your spirit, and just turn him loose into your flesh. Said, just imagine it in your mind. So she sat there about 10 minutes, it didn't say how many minutes, but he said, he talked to her and he said, have you released the Holy Spirit into your flesh yet? She said, that's a ridiculous thing I've ever heard, but anyway, I'm trying. And after a while, he asked her, he said, have you released the Holy Spirit into your flesh yet? She said, it's happening. He's coming into my spirit now. I'm healed. I'm healed. And she jumped up and she was completely healed. Completely healed. She did it herself by just thinking about the Holy Spirit coming into her. Now, I've never heard of this before, but that was what Lake told that lady. And she got healed by doing it. I've tried it, but I couldn't stay with it long enough, Andrew. I was getting distracted. Has anybody else ever heard of anything like that? Now, Lake did that, and it was successful with it. Well, Kurt Blake does it now. He found out about that, and he started doing it. So it's working. You can heal yourself by believing that the Spirit of God is coming out of your spirit and going into your flesh. And once he does that, you're healed. That's hard. You know, that's I don't know. That's a little out there, but that's what Lake and Blake did. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a question about what I just told you, that story? I just told you. Yeah, Andrew.
I might have a verse.
Let's hear
it. Galatians 2:20.
Christ in you, yeah.
I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God.
I see it.
Who loved me and gave his life for me. So I remember trying to look for those verses, you know, like it's obvious that Paul wasn't crucified with him, you know. So how do you approach some of these people who are waiting for their resurrection? But he told you in Ephesians that we were raised up with him, you know, like was Paul. Can you imagine those Ephesians sitting there going, well, how is he still here and raised up with him? Or how is he crucified with him and he's still right here, you know? So, you know, there is, you know, there's cross in that too and everything. And a yoke and a reconciliation and a baptism and a circumcision of the heart, you know, like so many things collate, you know, wow. But you see, it's very high up. It's God that does all this too, you know, and he's orchestrating everything, you know, and I know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. You know, but he has to dwell in us. We don't want no indwelling of something crazy, you know. We want the indwelling. We don't want to be indwelled by law, you know. Like before the faith came, we were kept inward. That's not the inward under law. Shut up. From the faith being, we want the word, you know. There's a whole lot of other words that can shut you up, you know. And sometimes people are zealous for you, you know. Oh, he doesn't do that anymore, you know. Like they're not zealous over you in no good way, you know. Like I don't know if that's a good verse to think about, you know, when the people start saying things to you that spoil you, you know. And I know they're not doing it intentionally, you know. I think they're just repeating things because that's what they heard, you know. And how much danger is that could happen with that, you know? When people repeat things, you know, especially like from a pulpit, you know, there is a lot of danger in that. I think it's taken out a lot of people, and especially new Christians and stuff. But I know the Lord defends them. Makes you kind of wonder, you know, puts a whole new thought pattern to that prodigal son. You know, are they teaching people to be prodigals? I don't know. Like, you don't want to be a prodigal. You want to be a good guy, you know, and it just doesn't make sense, you know. But he came to his senses in the end, you know, in the story of the prodigal son, in the parable, anyway. And, yeah, so praise God. You know, like, why so many divisions, you know? Division is not. Division is holiness and righteousness, and it's given to us by God, not by denomination, you know? And how do you measure it, you know? You have to measure it the way God would measure it. Yeah. You need to be in tune, and God has to tune us up. Praise God.
Amen. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
I just have a question. We're talking about that. You know, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And these verses and stuff. What verses would you point someone to help explain that? Like, you know, it's no longer I who live. I mean, I know what the verses are, but I mean, how would you say to somebody, well, I died with Christ and I was raised with Christ? Where would you help them try to see that in the Bible? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's our baptism and it's a faith thing, but, you know, it's like we were in him because we are part of him. He, you know, this is all by faith. You know, when we were not saved, Christ died for the ungodly, you know, but how would you try to explain that to him, a person? You men, because you're going to have to do that, right? I mean, I'm not going to be able to do it, but how would you explain that to somebody? Where would you show them? It's like, you don't live anymore. I died with Christ and I was raised with Christ. I know what where it says in the scriptures, and I know it's a faith thing that you apply to it. But just wondering how you might do that.
All right. Anybody want to go ahead and give it out? Go ahead, Andrew.
Ultimately, God has to. It's a 6:44 of John, as Jesus said. No one can come unto me unless the Father draw him. And I will raise him up on the last day. So, you know, not only did he raise Jesus up, but Jesus told us that we get a cross too to be raised up on. So, it's just that we're up there and we're being corrected and we're learning things. But I like Revelation 3:20. Behold, this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You can even knock on your forehead and heart, you know. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And you're going to sup on 633 of, for the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. You got to tell them the life is the wine, because there's some wine that's not so good wine over there in Revelation 18. You know, the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You don't want that wine. That's the devil's wine. And the wine is an emblem for your life, your blood. And that's what happens to some of the church, especially the ones in 13:11 of Revelation. So, you know, there's a lot of verses that show you, almost every single parable shows you the wise and the foolish. You know, Matthew 25, you know. Not a lot of people don't know that even though they're called, he called those bidden in the marriage supper verse there of Matthew 22. So there is statements out there that say once saved, always saved. But, you know, it's good to go to the marriage feast. Usually people go to a marriage feast so they can be married to the son, you know, and a father wants to throw for his son a marriage feast, and he called those bidden, and they were too busy, like they're too busy in the third land of the parable of the sower, or they're the five on the left hand here, which are goats. You know, in Matthew 25, they're the foolish. They didn't bring oil with them. You know, you need the extra vessel of oil to take with you, because if all the oil you have is in your lamp, how do you get refilled? You know, we've been, some person said, you know, to me once, you know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and in chapter 2 of Acts, and then by chapter 4, they had to be refilled, you know. So, you know, there is a refilling. You know, you get the extra vessel of oil. You know, give me oil for my lamp, keep me burning till the break of day. There's a song about it. And we need to realize that the calling does come out from us, but it has to be called, orchestrated by God. It has to be God that does it. Because it just goes in one ear and out the other, and
God has to grow.
It's good to speak the gospel of salvation to people, but it's so prevalent now that they in Matthew 24 it says, "See that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name." And if they're in the name, saying that they are the Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, they put a definite article. It would be nice to put a Christ in there, you know, because he was the first one. And it's a Christ being reconciled, exchanged for our darkness to light. For our iniquity to righteousness. So it's the Lord who governs it all, and we have to be sober as to where we are, but not to think soberly the way sometimes some people deliver it to you. Because they think it's sober not to have something that would make you super sober. You know, like they say, well, that doesn't happen anymore, or that's not sober. You see, they think they're sober by denying some of God's word and spirit and blood, you know, or adding or taking away from it. So, you know, that's not sober, because you know that's like you drinking instead of God's wine, the other wine, which I mentioned over there. You know, that God's wine is to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of the Lamb agrees with the water of the Word, and it agrees with the Spirit of God, because that's what it says in 1 John chapter 5. So you don't want that other wine at all. It's not. And it's God that has to do it in us. That's all I have to say. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Missy, you had your hand up. Did you still have something you wanted to say?
Well, kind of, sort of. My, I don't think it's my internet, but I think it's Zoom. It keeps cutting out intermittently, freezing up intermittently. I haven't been kicked off like I had been a couple weeks ago or so, but it just, and I've been rebuking it. So I just want you all to agree with me. I command my Zoom to work properly in the name of Jesus and to quit cutting out. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Joe. You okay, Vanita?
Oh.
Hey, girl.
Good.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Just wondering.
I would adjust, Michael.
What's that?
I would just say what Julie's question is, if how do you know you're baptized with Christ and you're living in Christ? I would say, do you know you're invited to the kingdom and did you start preparing for it? If he doesn't understand that, then he won't understand anything else about Christ, because you're invited. That's what you've been called. That's your calling. If you don't understand that, then it's not the time to understand what he's saying about Christ in you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, it looks like we're out of time. I want Julie and Missy to stay afterwards. I've got something I need to tell you. Okay. Well, one thing that I went through my mind earlier when we were talking about that lady that prayed for 5 hours. No, not that one. John Lake telling that lady to let the Spirit of God come out of her spirit and into her flesh. Wouldn't that be something greater than Jesus did? Yeah, I don't remember him ever doing that. That might be one of the greater things that he's done. Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you for an awesome night tonight. It's a lot better. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts and get. Hey, Ben. He was trying to get some knowledge and acknowledgement. No, he was saying hi to Julie, I guess. And Lord, we thank you that we all are improving every day with our walk with you, Lord. And we're getting this word in us, and it's going into our spirit. We'll be able to help a lot of folks. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Okay, y'all be blessed. Y'all, I have to get off yourself because I want to talk to these two. please.
Yes, stop recording, Michael.
Good, Bless you all.
Stop
Bless you
recording,
all.
Michael.